Kyogen is a centuries-old form of Japanese theater that's refreshingly informal, comical and satirical, but with a kind of innocence about it. It pokes fun without drawing blood and invites us to laugh at familiar stock characters who may even resemble people we know. It's a form of satire that continues to be adaptable for today's audiences. Professor Julie Yetsi of the University of Hawaii at Manoa's Department of Theater and Dance has combined ancient stories with new material adapted to the genre in a show called Power and Folly, Japanese Satire for the 21st Century, in collaboration with three visiting masters from Japan. We talked with her about Kyogen.
It's been around for over 600 years, and mm-hmm. it is passed down through families. If you think of it, kind of a cottage industry of artists. Mm-hmm. So there are families who can trace their lineage back more than 400 years, some of them even longer than that.
And it's a comedic slash satirical form?
Yes, it is a comedic form. It's a very mild satire, as our teachers, our guest artists who came, like to say, no one ever gets hurt, but mm-hmm. everyone can be the subject of, not ridicule, but...
Well, they get poked fun at.
Everyone can be made fun of, yes. Even yeah. gods, yes.
Which is, you know, in a society like medieval Japan, that in itself is kind of a bold statement.
Yeah, well, actually, medieval Japan it grew up at this time because it was a period of turmoil where there was a lot of movement in society where people underneath were able to gradually move up the ranks and take control. So it's really a reflection of that movement into society.
Because more a product of the social changes than an engineer of it.
Then. Yes, yes, exactly.
But that makes for a pretty interesting translation to a modern setting, I would think.
It does, but as in any time, any place in the world, there are archetypes that are recognizable. There are people in power that need to be poked fun at, and mm-hmm. we can do that at any time, and we can find parallels in our own society. And so I hope that that's what people will see when they come and see a traditional play.
I think a lot of societies have that same kind of art forms that are, in a way, safety valves. You know, the tradition of the fool in the medieval courts where he alone was allowed to make fun of the king. It's almost as if societies need to have a little bit of self-satire going on.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. They need a lot. And I think today we especially need a little bit of satire in our lives.
What are some of the stock characters that recur in Kyogen?
In Kyogen, you have the masters and servants. We don't actually have any of those in our upcoming production, but those are very common. The mountain priest, who is this aesthetic who goes and lives in the mountain and garners power from doing all these austerities, mm-hmm. and was therefore an object of kind of fear in society. And so
sure.
they become an object of fun, brought down to size, and so that we can laugh at them and relate to them. Overbearing women, the city trickster, and the country bumpkin.
Uh-huh.
I think we're all familiar with these kinds of types.
Yeah.
Great lords who are great in appearance, but maybe not so much in knowledge or actual power or wealth.
Uh-huh.
And we have examples of that in the upcoming production as well.
As we do in today's society.
Yes, we do.
But I could see where those would be archetypes that would translate quite readily from one society to another.
Yes, yes. And we are also, in this upcoming production, we have a new play that is set in contemporary Hawaii, but we translated many of those traditional archetypes to stock characters or the kind of characters that you meet every day here in Hawaii. So I think it's a testament to the fact that these archetypes live at any time in any place.
That must have been quite a playwriting challenge to take a contemporary play and put it into an ancient genre like that.
It was quite a challenge. Matthew Kelty, who was our playwright, he's a doctoral student at the Department of Theater and Dance, and a published playwright, wrote the original script, and then I had a fantastic cast of local students who brought a great deal to it, you mm-hmm. know, of their own knowledge, their own experience, because these are local characters, and so they made it their own and really workshopped this play to make it live and breathe, I think, very strongly in today's society.
But you have the look of the original plays.
The look of the original plays is there, the way the whole production is structured. There are three plays. We start with traditional, a play that's about 400 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second play, in appearance, looks very traditional, but it was written just 3 years ago by one of our Kyogen masters who came to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes its English debut. And so it's the teacher likes to say it's traditional in the first half and more contemporary in the second half. But in look, it's very traditional. Then when we get to the third play, the stage transforms. The elements do not change. The same elements are there that are there for a traditional stage. But the appearance of them, the treatment of them, transforms so that we can set it in contemporary times at a construction site for the rail.
Somehow having a subject kind of sneak up on you like that seems very consistent with a satirical art form.
Ah, yes. Well, I hope it's not too sneaky. I wasn't intending to be sneaky, but actually kind of bring the audience along from kind of on a historical journey to present time and to show that it might be an old form, 600 plus years old, but mm-hmm. it's very much alive in Japan. It can be very much alive anywhere because of the structure and the archetypes. It can live and relate to people, I think, anywhere in the world.
It's also good for, I think, any student of theater to be reminded that it's not only Shakespeare that can be adapted in a contemporary manner.
Oh, indeed. I have to agree with that, being an Asian theater specialist. It's also, Kyogen is a form that puts a lot of the onus on the actor because there is no accompanying music. There's no makeup, there are no wigs, you have costumes.
Really?
But it's really about the projection of the voice, the physicality of the body, learning forms mm-hmm. and believing in them, embodying those forms, putting your motivations into this these kata or these set conventions that have been established for a long time.
I'm really surprised to hear no makeup because you think of no or kabuki as being very, very stylized and, you know, painted faces everywhere, yeah?
Right, right. Well, kabuki is a little bit of a later form. It developed in the 1600s, and so this predates it by a couple hundred years, and it was originally performed at festivals all over Japan for the deities and for those people in attendance at the festival. So being performed outside, originally small companies that were itinerant groups, mm-hmm. and so costumes are fairly simple and no makeup.
Because this is more theater from, by and from the people.
Exactly, yeah. By, from, for the people. And every character that comes out and introduces himself or herself is someone without a name, someone like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
I am a person who lives in this area. I am a person who everyone knows. So you immediately make a connection with, oh, yeah, I know who you are. You live in my neighborhood. You're the guy that lives around the street, or you're the woman across the way. So you are performing with the audience, and the audience is laughing with you, not at you, recognizing these same foibles that they see on stage in themselves. And so it's a wonderful communal piece of fun.
I think it's also important for a contemporary audience to see that a form that is so far removed from their daily lives can actually have something to tell them.
Yes, yes, it does. I agree. And I hope especially, I mean, in our attempt to do the new play, Derailed, to not just poke fun at a contemporary issue, but to send people away thinking about the impact of what happens in their daily life.
Well, that's what satire is good for, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes.
Julie Yetzi is the director of Power and Folly, Japanese Satire for the 21st Century, which will be performed tonight at 7:30 at Mid-Pacific Institute's Bakken Auditorium.